Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for November 9th, 2005. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Mann.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director
Bookout. Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Please join me in the flag salute.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Brings us to item number three, board member items for discussion. Dave?
Nothing.
Barbara?
Not at this time.
I don't have anything.
I had just a couple items, noting that it's already November, and we were going to think about the issue of the county public facilities ordinance. Is there any update that we've had on where they are with that?
They're still working on it. I have checked. I emailed Pat Beck, and they're still working on it.
Okay, because I thought if it got to kind of this late in the year, we were going to consider whether we wanted to proceed separately or still wait. So it would be maybe a good idea to get a better update and consider again how we want to proceed with that. Another issue is apparently a miscommunication we had with the alley cleanup, which is kind of a traditional thing that the district has sponsored. And this year, apparently, it didn't come before the board. And I'm a little disappointed in that, but I am hoping that we can have, as Vice President Mann suggests, perhaps an entire community cleanup in the spring. And I would ask that the Community Enhancement Committee review that and bring a recommendation before the board at the earliest convenience, such that we can plan well in advance and have everything lined up and ready to go, so that we don't have to cancel something at the last minute. Brings us to item four, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on this agenda. Presentations are generally limited to 3 minutes, and we just respectfully ask that you try to stay to that. With that, is there any member of the public that would like to comment to the board? And please state your name and place of residence.
My name is Dale Clegg. I live at 1740 Peacock Place. It's just off of Christmas Tree.
Good, thank you.
About 3 or 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago, I came before the board and told them the problems I was having with the amount of animals my neighbors have. And I know you guys can't do anything about it, but I did check with the county. We have a hearing tomorrow. And they can't have that many, 10 animals on 2.5 acres. Well, I mean on a quarter acre. They have to have 2.5 acres to have that many animals. So we're for about 5 months now, we've had flies all summer. We've had stink, you know, and a lot of retaliation. And I'd like to have some type of a letter or maybe a phone call to the committee that would help us out. Because the code says that they have to be 25 feet away from your house, any residence, and 100 feet in distance across. The codes are already there, and they've denied it once, but they're appealing it. And I just don't think that, as a resident here, and Bill Bookout's been to my place, I try to keep it clean and neat. Jim's been there, I think. And I think the whole town, being we're trying to clean it up, should back this code and make the code enforcement enforce it. And I know you guys can't do anything about it. I just thought I'd bring it up and maybe get your blessing tomorrow. So I'm going to go up and raise hell tomorrow.
To do the project of all the alleys here in Oceano, and to find out that there is an announcement in our local newspaper for all of South County to look at, that there is a free roll-off dumpster in Oceano to be used. However, this seemed to be pretty upsetting. I suggested the possibility that someone would be posted there at the dumpster to make sure, take IDs, that in fact Oceano residents were doing the dumping and not anybody else. This was very upsetting. And we were very concerned that this was a project that years ago was probably a pretty good thing and still could be a good thing, but it had been, would need a drastic update. It lacked the horsepower and the organization to really do the good job. I suggested, let's have a real cleanup like we did back in 98. How many of us remember that? Tons of refuse, cars, wrecks, everything. That was a real cleanup. This cleanup, to me, looked more like a token patty cake show, and it didn't produce what it was supposed to. Obviously, it had been canceled. The thing is why now? Only a few days before? Projected rain. Well, gee whiz, meteors can come hit us. We could have a meteor shower. We could project that. Why cancel it? It was a good thing. It lacked a lot of detail, but it should have gone forward. And I agree with you, President Hill, that if it does get revisited, let's rework it. Let's have a real cleanup. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Marty. Antonio Maldonado, resident of Oceano. I got the flyer of the cleanup. I was also in the meeting that we attended. It was agreed that we put it on for the 12th of this month. And then a neighbor of mine, because I was showing him the flyer that I got on the agenda, on the packet, okay, and he came and talked to Mrs. David about it and of the alleys also. She was very disturbed and called me where I got this flyer from. I said, well, it came in the packet. So she says, well, we don't know anything about it whatsoever, nothing. I said, all right, I'll take you the flyer and you can see it, which I did. I brought it to her. She took a copy of it. While we were talking in the front desk, and now she opened the book and there was the flyer. And I said, there it is. She stated that this was just a sample of what was going to be sent out. I said, it's all right. If it's only a sample, why does it have the date and the hour and the place? It should have had a question mark if it was just a sample. Okay. My point is that this one went through, but since they didn't tell the rest of you people here in front, Mr. Cooney forgot to put it in the agenda on the 12th or whenever this meeting was supposed to take place, which is a week later. Okay, and that's why this mistake, and that's why it's canceled. And in the canceling thing, why would you cancel something that you didn't send out? It was also in the newspaper. The paper was from October the 5th, stating the cleanup. A lot of people know of. I came day before yesterday to the office and talked to Ms. Davis and Mr. Cooney also. And I says, what are you going to do if people start putting their junk there? Didn't I say that? What are you going to do? He says, well, we don't know. I said, well, you just have to be responsible and pick it up since it was over here already. And I think it's very rude to cancel it now, you know, when a lot of people know. And maybe some of them don't even read the paper of today that it has been canceled. On the 12th of October, it also says in October the 12th, it also stated by Mark that alley cleanup, in my own opinion, it's a very poorly organized thing. This is on the 12th. So it was brought up over here, because this is on the 12th, and then we had a meeting on it. Okay, why it didn't go through that, I do not know. Okay, but I think that we as a community start getting together and put our things together and go on forward from there. We cannot grow up as a community if we keep changing our mind every time we turn around because somebody forgot to put it on the agenda or it didn't suit us. Okay, we're not children, we're grown ups, and I suggest that we all grow up.
Thank you for the comment. Anyone else from the public like to address the board? And I tend to find it offensive that when he clearly states that his place of residence is Oceano, that it's continually misprinted. And I'm reminded of Nina Grabeel's comments along those lines. I wonder why we can't get that right.
The county registrar has him, his registration is a referendum.
He's a resident of Oceano, as he so states, and I don't know why we can't accept that on face value. I don't know what registration you're talking about.
Voter registration.
Maybe that comes to a post office box for his mail material. I don't know. Maybe his registration is obsolete, but it just seems to me that it looks to me almost like petty bickering and that kind of thing, and I don't like to see pettiness. So I hope we can clean that up in the future. And I would like to see the copy here amended to affect that. Is there any comment from the public on this item?
Thank you, President Hill, for that comment. I appreciate that very much. And I, too, want to add to that and back up what you have just stated. And I specifically want to look at the October 26 minutes, number 4, public comment, where it reads, Mark Wampler, Arroyo Grande, stated that as president of Oceano Housing Advisory Committee, he will enter into a rental agreement with the district so that the sound system might be available. And my first question to that is why would Mark Wampler want to rent from the district? And secondly, what are we talking about that I'm supposed to be renting? I know that there's a fire station down here. I don't know if it's got sound equipment or not. I don't have a fan club, so I'm not sure who's going to be meeting in the facility. It's very confusing. The context, there really is no context to this statement, and I find it kind of, well, amusing if it wasn't something that really should be seriously taken. And I do have an amendment that I want to present to you in writing to correct this minutes, this addition to the minutes. And also, for the record, I do live on Beach Street, along with my friends Mary Lucy and Antonia. We're the Beach Street Three, okay, a force to be reckoned with. Mitch, I do have utility bills, 2181 Beach Street, to affirm my address. If you like a copy of those, I'd be glad to furnish them. And anybody else who has a question as to my residency, where my family and I dwell. Okay, and I thank you for that. I want to give you a copy of the amended minutes, and I want to read them here publicly. I want the change to read, Mark Wampler, Oceano, will introduce a motion to make a rental arrangements on behalf of the Oceano Housing Advisory Committee with the Oceano Community Services District for the use of the board meeting room. That will include the use of the sound system for OHAC's monthly meetings. That, to me, makes a whole lot more sense. There's context to it. People understand what's being stated here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Any other comment on the minutes?
Hi, Mary Lucy Oceano. I just like to add, I was at this meeting, and so there was a couple areas under 9E. Oh, actually, I'd like to back up and say under 9B, if that could be a little bit more clearly defined as to what the discussion was, then people who read our minutes in the future, that they understand what that is. So if you could just, there was a long discussion by legal counsel, and so it has to just be reworked a little so it's comprehensive, that people understand what the addendum to the lease, it just started like in mid-paragraph. Secondly, under 9E, amendment to the general manager's contract, and I'd like to read this out loud, and if you weren't at the meeting, you'll have no idea of what was discussed. It was GM Mr. Cooney presented the item as if that was the topic. Giselle Naylor, Oceano, Mark Wampler, Roya Grandy, Mary Lucy Oceano, and Antonio Maldonado Oceano spoke to the issue and what was the issue. And if you weren't at that meeting, you'd have no idea that you made a policy decision to bypass the bylaws of how you evaluate personnel and move forward, and that I think the people of Oceano need to know what...
At our last meeting, the district board passed a resolution of appreciation for a grant received from the state of California, the Department of Parks and Recreation, Off-Highway Recreation Division, whereas it's been determined that it is desirable for Oceano Community Services District to own and operate a Type 4 emergency vehicle for use in the community, to fulfill its obligations to render automatic response to emergencies at Oceano Dunes under the terms of the Agreement for Automatic Fire Protection Aid entered into on September 12, 2001, in cooperative effort to provide the Type 4 emergency vehicle, the State Department of Parks and Recreation, Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Recreation Division, secured a grant in the sum of $50,000 to assist OCSV with the acquisition of the Type 4 emergency vehicle. Therefore, be it resolved, determined, and ordered that the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors acknowledges and appreciates the interagency cooperation between OCSB and the State of California, Department of Parks and Recreation, Off-Highway Recreation Division, and looks forward to a continued mutually advantageous relationship in the future. Past this 26th day of October 2005, Mandy is the superintendent. We're very pleased to be participating with you in this endeavor. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Item 6B. We have here the Executive Director of the Local Agency Formation Commission, Mr. Paul Hood. And Paul, welcome.
Thank you.
We understand you have a little presentation for us about the new special district legislation.
Yeah. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here at the Oceano CSD. I've been here several times, and it's always a pleasure to come back. I wanted to just bring you up to date on a couple of changes in the CSD law that you and the 300 CSDs around the state operate under. The legislature decided that they wanted to take a look at this 50-year-old statute, Government Code Section 61,000, and after about 6 months of going through each one of the 300 code sections, I was selected, by the way, to participate on that group at the state capitol by CalLAFCO, which is the statewide association of LAFCOs. There's a LAFCO in every county in the state. And so this is really not, what I'm informing you of is really not a LAFCO matter, but I am, you know, knowledgeable of what the changes will be, and just wanted to let you know that you can expect a few things to change beginning January 1, 2006. And mainly what I'd recommend is that your general manager and legal counsel take a look at these code sections, because they will be a lot easier to understand than the previous sections that were convoluted and very complicated. The law is now about 83 code sections, reduced from over 300. And so that in itself is an accomplishment. There's no real policy changes. The intent of the group, which was made up of CSD managers and CSDA and CSAC, League of California Cities, Jarvis Gann Taxpayers Association, CalAFCO, many different groups. Didn't want to change the policy basis for CSDs, but really wanted to make it a CSD law and statute that can be used, that is consistent with the way things operate today, not the way things operated in 1955. So I would encourage you to take a look at it. There's several sections that have to do with the powers of CSDs that were introduced by individual statutes that were dealing with things from gas stations to airports to different things that are now, where they make sense, allowed for all CSDs to provide. The exceptions, and there's three in this county, three CSDs that are singled out as being exceptions to the 21 or 25 different powers that CSDs have, and they will continue. Those are Heritage Ranch, that operates the only gas station in the state, as CSD, Napomo, that has landscape maintenance services, and the Los Osos CSD that has some legislation that deals with the sewer project. Clearly that has not helped them at this point, but that's a different story. So with that, I don't know if there's anything I really need to add. The latent powers aspect of be prevalent throughout the law. So I think the new legislation that, as I said, will become effective in a little over a month, will make it easier for you to operate and make it easier for you to really just look up anything that you need to do without getting into complex legal issues. So it was a good process and very worthwhile. We have, as you know, 15 CSDs in this county, and there's over 300 statewide, so we have more than our share of CSDs. And so I've become, you know, fairly knowledgeable about the way CSDs operate, and I was happy to be appointed to this committee to look over the CSD law, and I think you'll be pleased when you take a close look at it, and hopefully it will work for 50 more years. So with that, thank you very much for inviting me, and I've given Mitch some handouts to kind of summarize what the new legislation does, and you can have those. I've also sent those out to the attorneys and the district managers of the CSDs in this county, and they were all part of the discussion when I went up to Sacramento a number of times to work through this very complex statute. So with that, unless you have any questions, I know you have a busy agenda, I'd be happy to answer questions. Barbara?
I have a question.
Sure.
If a CSD is bankrupt, are they still a CSD?
Without referring to any specific CSD.
Yeah, without referring to any specific one.
They're still a CSD unless there is an action to dissolve the CSD.
And
that takes LAFCO approval. It takes an application to be filed with LAFCO and a LAFCO action. And in some cases, it requires an election, even though the CSD may be bankrupt and not have any funds. Just because it cannot operate doesn't mean it goes out of business as a legal entity.
Kind of like Squirrel Hollow?
Well, Ground Squirrel Hollow, they have some money, but I was thinking of a different CSD when you brought it up.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Barbara, by the way, is chairman of LAFCO in San Luis Obispo County, so she does a very good job and is very knowledgeable.
Any other questions?
Any other questions for Mr. Hood? I do have one little question on it. As I understand, the funding for latent powers, it's a little more involved than just the district deciding that we're going to take on an additional power. Don't we also have to have a funding source identified?
Absolutely.
For that at the time that the power is sought or is brought forth before LAFCO?
Very good point. Yes, you do. You would need to identify how that power would be funded. So, for instance, if you wanted to take over the airport, say, you would need to have a revenue stream and a way of funding that. And it could also be conditioned on a special tax or something of that nature. But just because you say, well, we want to do it, it's a little more complex than just saying, okay, well, you can. There's some real in-depth analysis and funding options that would need to be looked at.
I have another question. Could one of your neighbors decide, we would like to take Oceano? can they file to absorb us or a, you know, a, an area, and then what happens then?
Well, it's that's not part of the new legislation. That's more of the LAFCO statute. Yes, they could. Somebody could file an application to annex, or what we would call a reorganization, where you would dissolve a district and annex, say, to a neighboring city. And that would also require an election, would require LAFCO approval and in-depth financial feasibility study.
And the people have a say of that? People have a say?
Absolutely. It goes to an election, so the people would have a say on if that would happen or not.
I just wanted to be sure on that one.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. Really Thanks. Appreciate you coming, Paul.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Thanks. I'm going to slip out if that's okay.
Quite all right. Thank you again for coming. I'm sorry. If you don't mind, questions from the audience?
Yeah, just real quick. You said that... Mary Lucy, can you explain to us why it's a value for the districts not to have to come to the community for buy-in, and that they can just kind of bypass community input? That's kind of how I am. Took your presentation is that they just need to vote among themselves. And so can you tell us the value of having that, not having to do any community input or any of that? Can you explain that to us?
Mr. Chairman, is that something, I don't think that's really on the subject at all. It's not something I'm...
As far as... I don't know if you have an answer prepared or you're...
I don't have any comments on that. I think,
okay.
You know, that wasn't part of my presentation, and I don't know where she got it from. So.
Oh, maybe you could clarify then, sir. I'm sorry. Did I miss it?
Determine what a funding mechanism would have to be
right.
for that process.
And it would have to be approved by the county as well, because the county
currently
provides those services. So it's going to be transferred over then. Mm-hmm. The agency that currently provides the service would need to agree that would be what they would want to do.
Okay. Once again, thank you very much.
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. I was just wondering if we could also, my question is not for you, sir. If we could also get a copy of this gentleman's handout, so that would help us to understand what he was talking about.
Okay, I think we can. Can we make those available
sure.
to the public? Thank you. Item 7 on the agenda, report by Commander Martin Basti of the Sheriff South Station. Welcome, Commander.
Thank you. Good evening, President Hill, Vice President Mann, board members, staff, and members of the public. Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. First of all, let me express my congratulations to District Superintendent Zelke and your fire department chief. For that partnership, providing service. It's those kind of public service partnerships that everybody benefits from. So congratulations, Andy and Mike, both of you. Great job. On another note, we had a homicide in Oceano, first of the month. That was resolved by that evening, so it's in the court process. And additionally, 2 weeks ago, you might have seen the news with the individual that was posing as a deputy sheriff. We don't take kindly to that. As of today, that's resolved. The individual that was responsible for it admitted to each and every one of those, so that's resolved. So he's not out there stopping people for stop signs, et cetera, and posing as a deputy sheriff. So that's been resolved as well. Next thing I'd like to announce is that our bicycle program, for those of you in the community that know of any children that may or may not be able to have one for the holidays, please have them stop by our station. The clerks will help you fill it out. This needs to be distributed back to our honor farm by the 24th so that we can get the bikes named and identified and get them distributed in time for the holidays. So anybody in the community is welcome to come and apply. It has the sizes down here and contact numbers so we can make sure that they each get a bicycle. And also, through our Sheriff's Advisory Council and other funding, we provide a helmet because it's required by law for anyone under 18, so we also provide a helmet with it. For the benefit of the public, as I talk about this next item, I brought handouts. Let me first share with the board. And second, and I'll pass out the handouts for the public if you... You're quite welcome. Now, each holiday, because people are off, because people are visiting, we see an increase in criminal activity only because of those crimes of opportunity. One thing that we want you to do is be safe for the holiday. And, Mike, we also added some fire safety things in here for you as well. But the main thing is to keep your car locked, keep your packages out of view. Ladies, a small purse, keep it with you. You see so many in the store that leave it in the basket and walk down the aisle to look at something. Somebody takes that purse, it takes that quick to get your information. So, it also talks about if you're hosting a party or if you're going to a party. Drinking and driving is not acceptable, okay? Not even one drink. So if you do or you're hosting, be sure you have designated drivers, or if you yourself are enjoying some holidays, then get somebody to drive you home as well that has not had anything to drink to keep the highway safe. So we'll also provide some of these for your front office. So if somebody's coming in paying a water bill, general manager, that certainly can pass it out. Also, there is no copyright. This can be copied as many times as you'd like, and you can produce it, because the more people that can keep themselves safe, that's the less calls for service that we have, and that's one less victim, and that's our ultimate goal. So these are just some holiday safety tips of the common things we find where people become victims during the holiday, and we want it to be a joyous time. So with that, one last point. November 2003 was my first meeting here, so this is the second year anniversary, and I certainly appreciate your board's input on a daily basis, as well as the public, as we provide service for the community. So your help is greatly appreciated, and I appreciate the opportunity over the last 2 years of a few minutes on your agenda.
It's been a great pleasure to have you here, and we really respect and appreciate the job that you do, that the Highway Patrol does, the Fire Department, and the State Parks Rangers to keep everybody safe and secure in the community. We very much appreciate your effort, and it goes to all of the members of the Sheriff's South Station. Thank you.
You bet. Any other questions, comments?
Let me make a quick statement that where the commander was speaking, the Sheriff's South Station, of course, is right now.
For the bicycles? 24.
El 24 de este mes que viene. Y todos los niños que necesiten pueden recibir sus aplicaciones allí. También estaba diciendo que como estamos ya llegando a los días festivos de la Navidad, que tengan mucho cuidado con sus bolsas y con sus paquetes, que cierren los carros cuando vayan a la S. Eso es todo lo que tiene que decir él, y que tengan mucho cuidado. And as for me, I'm telling you thank you to the fire department and to the police stations over here. All police are on the state, not only here, because they're our backbone. Even if we don't want to admit it, they are our backbone. And so are the doctors and nurses and all those. Those are our backbones, so we have to look out for them just as they look out for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonia. Thank you again, Commander Basti. We again appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Item 8A, reports of the district department heads. We have the report of the administrative assistant. Are there any comment or questions on the report? I just note that you've noted that the considerable time spent by staff and council working with the apparently on the property lease agreement with the bank. Yeah, just in passing. Any other comment or questions from the board? Any comment or questions from the public on this item? Okay, we'll order that received and filed. Thank you, Gina. A report of the utility operations supervisor. Comment or questions? Any comment or questions from the public on this item? Hearing none, we'll order that received and filed. Thank you, Phil. The report of the fire department. Comment or questions? Again, thank you, Chief, and to the members of the fire department. Any comment or questions from the public? Hearing none, we'll order that received and filed. Thank you. Brings us to item 9A, consideration of purchase of fire department turnouts. The general manager's recommendation to award the bid to purchase 22 sets of fire department turnouts to Fisher Safety for a sum not to exceed $25,044.14. At a meeting of October 12th, the board authorized distribution of bid packets, and I understand that the bids have come in and we've evaluated those, and that's the recommendation of staff that we proceed with Fisher Safety.
Correct.
Any other comment or questions from the board?
Yeah, we talked about this at fire committee and wanting to make sure that because this company was about $8,000 less than the next bidder, wanted to make sure they were apples for apples, and Mike said that that they were, and anything that didn't meet the specifications were really better than the specifications. So it sounds like this is a good competitive bid, and I would make a motion that we go ahead and purchase these turnouts. This is part of the grant that we got, and it's a 5% matching grant.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Angelo, seconded by Director Bookout, that we award the bid for 22 sets of turnouts, coats and pants, to Fisher Safety for a sum not to exceed $25,044.14 plus shipping. Is there comment from the public on this item? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Vice President?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Item 10A, utility items, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is a continual disclosure of the emergency that this board declared following the earthquake of December 2003 concerning the cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water mains. Our board is required at every regular meeting to determine by four-fifths vote that the continued emergency still exists. Sir?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Vice President Mann, seconded by Director Angelo to continue the declaration of emergency. Is there any comment from the public on this item? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please, Mitch?
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes. Flooding issue. Agree to participate at whatever level of comfort that they may have with respect to that issue. And again, what we're seeking here, I guess, is some direction from the board of whether we would like to endorse this type of participation or what level of participation we might want to consider, if any. And
has Zone 1-1A given you any kind of indication what kind of participation they wanted?
This would be totally up to our board. Could be anything from advertising and endorsements to in some cases, some entities might be comfortable with financial support. I know that our board really has no mechanism to provide any financial support, but some of the things that they're talking about are, for example, sponsorship of creek cleanup days, that sort of thing, and we could perhaps participate by advertising creek cleanup activities. So there's no set amount of participation. It's up to each entity at this point to decide how or whether they would like to participate going forward.
So this is kind of like a commitment with no commitment.
It is a commitment for whatever, again, whatever level of participation that the board would feel comfortable with. And at this point, it might be just to continue to observe the evolving structure of this conceptual memorandum and perhaps just stay involved as far as watching it progress and making a later determination.
I noticed on the draft that you had given us originally, one of the organizations that I think I see missing on here is maybe the Oceano Housing Advisory Committee. They perhaps would want to be included with some input. I know Grover and Aurora Grandy, they don't have, I don't know what their advisory councils are like, but I would think that that would be a place that you would really get some input from the public of what, of helping or whatever. I'm not talking about money from them, because I don't know that Oceano Housing has very much funds, but I'm sure that they would have some good input to, I think perhaps they might want to be included. I'm not a member of that organization, but I would think perhaps maybe Mr. Wampler or Olita, I see two members sitting here, perhaps would have a thought on that.
Absolutely.
And that's, yes, Mark, go ahead. So,
absolutely. We are interested in community input on a wide base. Personally, I have been involved with the Zone 1A issue, and I know many committee members are in touch with it. Will DeShane is very much in touch with that. He attended the last Board of Supervisors hearing on that. So absolutely, we're involved, and we want to be in touch with you as a board, and so we can work together on that. Thank you.
I think they ought to give you some credit on this little thing, Mark.
I'll bring that up at the next meeting. I'm sure there was no intention to leave OHAC out of off of this. This was, I know that there's a time pressure, and this is basically an all volunteer effort at this point also. So I'm sure there was no slight mentioned or intended by the inadvertent omission of OHAC on this document. That your point is very well taken, and I'll take that back to the Zone 11A Advisory Committee. But I don't know that we have any action on this, or if the board would like to consider further participation, if we'd like to just watch the process and see how it evolves.
Well, we do have some involvement already through the sanitation district. We're one-third owners in that, and it looks like they're going to play up in part of that, from what I hear. So there's some participation from Oceano already, but I don't have any problem with advertising or any of that type of stuff, but I know we don't have any funds to put forward.
Right.
Could staff jump in here just for a second?
Please do.
Before we commit to anything, I think we need to make sure that our council is fully aware of what we're doing. I don't know what liability would accrue if we were to participate in any way. Difficulty we don't even know is coming, and I guess I'll pass it on to our council.
Certainly a valid point. Alex, would you like to comment on that?
Well, you're correct. It's a valid point. There's the potential for that to happen. And it could happen any number of ways that we might not possibly be able to imagine here tonight as we sit and try and talk our way through this. Having been involved in a few things that are sort of tangentially related to similar situations, what seems to happen most of the time is you sort of get drawn into it bit by bit. You know, you get the organization becomes more structured over as the years pass, it takes on more responsibility, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in precisely the kind of situation that the general manager is suggesting, and you don't know when you cross the line. And so I would not suggest that you don't go forward on some basis here to get more information and try and figure this thing out or indicate some desire to participate at some level. But I think you have to be very careful and keep top of mind at each step as this thing evolves how much more exposure, potential liability, responsibility is the district taking on. And hopefully we can preserve the corporate memory about that as the board changes and the staff changes and that sort of thing.
The County of San Luis Obispo received quite a few lawsuits from the 2001 flood that occurred, and we don't want to be involved in that at all.
That's why I'm suggesting that we make sure that, you know, we approach this. You know, this is totally a county responsibility. You know, how they got all of us excited about doing something about it, I don't know, but they have. Yes. But I think we best be extremely careful that we don't, you know, all of a sudden find ourselves stepping in a bear trap to make sure it works. You
know. The county has received funds from us or collected fees from us for a lot of years regarding the flooding, haven't they?
Not from the district, no. From individuals who are in Zone 11A, there is an assessment on those people. But it's not all the people. There's probably, you know, I'd say less than 5% of the citizens of Oceano are in, is that about right? 5-10%.
You're in Zone 1A.
There's on the order of, they're on the order of 500, I think, parcels.
Okay.
That, and it's not only the parcels, because some of the parcels are the mobile home parks that are closely abut the creek, so there's many residents in each of those, even though there's only one assessor's parcel number associated with that. So I think it's a probably a considerably higher percentage of the population of the community.
I was assuming it was a lot less than that, but you're probably right then if it's those. But mm-hmm. It's like the whole center of the community is not in Zone 11A.
Geographically speaking, that's right.
Mm-hmm. How about the farmers? Don't they, you know, they reap the harvest from keeping that water in the banks? Can they maintain it?
A yes and no. The farmers are also members of or are a part of the Zone 11A district. And as Director Bookout pointed out, that's a county responsibility, a county agency. Zone 1 is part of the county flood control district. But the maintenance fees that have been assessed over the years is on the order of $5 a year. And if you recall, there was a move to turn the maintenance of the, because of the lawsuits that the county suffered, a move to turn the maintenance of the creek over to the State of California Department of Water Resources. And Water Resources has the authority to come in and impose $1 million a year, maybe $2 million in the second, third, and fourth year charges to maintain the creek, and that would automatically be assessed with no election or any other voice of the people involved. That would just be imposed by Department of Water Resources. They have that statutory authority currently to do that. And what Zone 11A Advisory Committee is trying to do is work out a viable solution whereby control would be maintained locally at much less cost and not impose that $1 million to $2 million annual bill on the residents of Zone 11A.
Jim, have they made any decision on who will be holding the pocketbook of this money?
No, not yet.
No, no, none of these people have stepped up to say they would be the
Resource Conservation District has been the largest participant so far in terms of managing the project there. We've had California Conservation Corps crews.
And so I think we could stand in. If there's a concern, we can address that on an advisory level.
Thank you, Mark. Any other comment or questions from the public? Okay. Bringing it back to the board, is there any suggestions on how we might want to proceed?
What do you want to do, since you're the one sitting on this board? You know, what is your recommendation?
I would probably recommend that we continue to monitor the situation with the work of the Zone 11A Advisory Committee and offer moral support as possible, and perhaps, as Director Angelo suggested, maybe advertisement. I understand that we can't really offer any financial contribution
having no means to do that other than our participation in the sanitation district, since the sanitation district plant is located in the Zone 11A district boundary. But I think that would be my recommendation, just to continue monitoring the situation and see how this develops. Again, it's a work in process.
I can certainly support doing that.
Do we need a motion on that or just a direction?
Well, I think that's kind of what we're doing already.
A motion?
No, already monitoring it. And
currently, yes.
Yeah, that's so that's correct.
We want to continue that.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any action to be taken, is there?
I don't think there's any action to be taken. I think, though, that we need to continually have it as an action item on our agenda so we can, you know, I think as our council ably pointed out, that eventually everything's going along until you find out that you've bought the farm, you know, and you don't realize that that happened to you. So I think we need to...
Well, that was my purpose in bringing this to the board at the earliest opportunity while this is still in first draft stage, so that council and staff and my fellow board members, of course, can be aware of what the directions are that the Zone 11A committee is taking. So with that, I don't know if we need a motion. It looks like the consensus of the board is to keep monitoring the situation and bring the information forward as it develops.
Excellent.
That sounds good.
Okay. Our county supervisor Kacho Ashajian has been, you know, very supportive of the Zone 11A advisory committee efforts, and as has Tony Ferrara from Arroyo Grande. So I'd just like to thank them for their help and efforts with the work of the Zone 11A committee. Brings us to item 11B, consideration of real property negotiations.
Mr. President, this negotiations is on the Oceano Community Center, and that center is within 500 feet of my residence, so therefore, due to the Brown Act, I have to recuse myself at this point in time.
Thank you, Vern. Seeing that Director Dulles left the room, this again is a status report on negotiations and consideration of approval of lease addendum with Oceano Community Center Incorporated. And Alex, I understand you have a recommendation for us on this.
Yes, a brief staff report and a recommendation. You'll recall you considered at your October 26th meeting a draft of an addendum. That draft addressed several potential issues, or actually three potential issues, areas of issues, in the addendum. The board at that time indicated particular concern about the use clauses that were contained in the addendum. And while you did not take any action, my general sense was that if we could get that resolved, we might be good to go on this. Following that meeting, OCCI continued negotiations with the bank to try and see if they could not get some specific language on the use clauses that would be satisfactory to everyone. And largely, I think, through the efforts of Mrs. Brackett, I believe we've been able to achieve something that I can recommend to the board, the bank will accept, and OCCI is willing to go along with. Now, at the time, there's two changes, changing a timeline from 15 days to 25 days. That seems eminently reasonable to me, and I don't think there's ever been any real controversy about that particular item. On the middle of the second page, there are two kinds of changes. There are two locations in the paragraph at the middle of the page that talk about the kinds of people who might acquire the leaseholder's interest if for some reason the bank had to foreclose on its security. It could be the bank, it could be a purchaser at the sale, it could be somebody that the bank acquires the lease and then turns around and sells to. And so you'll see the first two sets of changes on that page, you'll see our very parallel language designed to cover those two different circumstances that could occur. And it simply parrots the language regarding the deed encumbrances that are on the property, the use restrictions for the deed encumbrances on the property, and the California Wildlife, Coastal, and Parkland Conservation Act project agreement for the project by which the district acquired the property. Those are the two places where the use restrictions that I'm aware of are contained. And so we specifically reference those to the effect that whoever it might be, anyone that ultimately acquires this leasehold interest as the tenant, has to comply with those use restrictions, both in terms of the kind of entity they are and in terms of the kind of use that they put the property to. At the end of the large paragraph in the middle of the page is the last set of changes, and they all go together. And what we tried to do is to provide for everyone's comfort some reasonable definition, a reasonably broad but still common sense definition of recreation. And I'll read it to you and the public, because this is where some changes were made from the document that was provided as part of the agenda packet. The original agreement said, in the event of any transfer, the transferor shall forthwith give written notice to the lessor of such transfer, including the name and addressee of the transferee and the effective date of such transfer. And then it continues with the language that we negotiated. In connection with this addendum and the lease, the parties agree that the deed and project amendment restrictions encumbering the premises, providing for use for, quote, recreation, close quote, purposes only, shall be interpreted to include the broadest reasonable definition of, quote, recreation, close quote, including by way of example, but not limitation, three, numbers one and two come much farther up in the paragraph and don't have anything to do with this, three, sub-rental of portions of the facility to third parties on an ad hoc or ongoing basis for educational, social, cultural, athletic, or other similar events. Four, fundraising events and general office and administrative uses directly associated with the foregoing. Five, ancillary vending activities by public or private entities related to the foregoing, including by way of example but not limitation, food and or beverage catering, ATM services, and other incidental sales of goods and services. That's the end of the change. The idea here is to make it clear that if OCCI wants to rent the facility out to someone who's going to have their wedding reception there, or the Rockhounds Club that wants to put on a show and there might be some incidental sales that go along with that, whether it be food or beverages or the rocks, or some investment broker that wants to put on a seminar at the facility and rent the facility for that, those sorts of activities all fall within this broad definition. So with this, I think it falls within the spirit and the letter of the use restrictions that are on the property. I believe we found something that will work for the bank, OCCI, and the district, and I would recommend it for approval. I'll be happy to try and answer any questions.
Questions from the board?
I just want to confirm that the only security that the bank has is the lease. Is that correct? It's not tied to the property.
It's not tied to the dirt. It is the lease.
Other questions from the board? don't really mean that. We mean the broadest possible interpretation. And the example you gave of an investment broker, I really, that would be a big stretch in my mind to use the facility for something like that while people that are interested in real recreation activities are standing outside the door not able to get in because the facility is being used for that purpose.
Was that a question or was that just a statement?
A question and a statement, I guess. Is it possible to redefine that in terms of the public resources code?
Well, anything's possible. I don't believe that's necessary, but if that's the wish of the board, we can go back and try and do that.
Jim, I think his example of the investment thing, I'm kind of thinking of the senior center. From time to time, they would rent their facility out for an hour to somebody to come in and pitch something. Usually down there, it was, they only got to do it if there was nothing else scheduled. You know, the recreation came first, and then these other things second.
The problem when you try to parse these things with examples like that is, and let's use the example of the investment broker. That, it can be argued that's educational.
Yeah,
which is part of the definition of recreation. And so I would venture to guess you could go to any facility that we would all agree is a recreational facility, and if you examined for a month or a year their schedule of events that occur there, you would find some that, you know, we could kind of pick apart in this fashion. But in the broad sense of the term, and in terms of the overall scope of the way it's used, it's I think it's pretty clearly recreation.
On page 3, it's subparagraph 4. It talks about the less. The encumbrance holder, basically the bank, becoming the new lessee in the event of default, if I understand this correctly. And it states that the new lessee, i.e. the bank, who had presumably a 30-year loan on the facility, is now going to get to be a leaseholder for the remainder of the term of the lease, which is 99 years, is it not?
Potentially the bank could be the leaseholder for the remainder term of the lease, in theory. As a practical matter, that's outside their charter. So if they tried to hold on to it, the regulatory agencies for banks would be all over them. And in the other provisions of the lease, they have the right to pass it on to a third party, but whoever that third party is, or even if the bank somehow managed to get it past the regulators and the bank was going to hold on to it, they've got to use the property for the required purposes. They couldn't open up a branch there.
I wonder if they could open up a recreation center for exclusive use of bank employees.
The deed restriction and the grant both require that it be public recreation.
I still wonder why the bank, the commercial entity looking out for their own commercial interest, would insist on having this for the remainder of the term of the lease, so that the district would effectively be giving up its interest to a commercial entity for 100 years. Doesn't seem to me like a reasonable way to proceed, but
it is recreation. It has to be used for recreation.
Well, I think that's what the community would desire. I'm wondering if what we're considering here in this document might preclude that under some circumstances.
finally, at the end of it, I see that the lessor is the OCSD with Ruth Brackett as president, and the lessee is OCCI by myself as president, with General Manager Cooney as the General Manager of OCCI.
Well, that's my mistake, and I'll get that fixed.
It just kind of looks again.
Recreation as a pastime, hobby, sport, or amusement is defined basically as a noun. However, today, recreation can mean many, many things in our local culture here. For instance, let's take the word recreation and make an adjective out of it. Say recreational drugs, recreational sex. We're using the word recreation here, aren't we? Okay. Just because it's in there doesn't mean that it's going to fulfill the community's standards and desires. You can add anything to recreational bond making. Okay, am I getting somebody's attention? So I think we need to really look and define exactly what recreation means. And it has to have a context that the community is satisfied with and will uphold the standards of this community. It has to have context. The word recreation by itself, without a context, could mean anything. Okay, secondly, well, I think we need to look at third-party tenants. The language attached to third-party tenants isn't specific as to rental agreements. The word ongoing could mean term, long-term lease with no qualifications. Specific terms of third-party rental agreements must be approved, in my opinion, by this board. Standard rental agreements may be easily obtained and subject to approval on a case-by-case basis. In other words, the district, in my opinion, must mandate that widely approved rental agreements be put in place as a prerequisite for any third-party occupation of the facilities. Now, the words cultural, social, and educational likewise fall into the contextual dilemma. What do we mean by culture? What do we mean by social? What do we mean by educational? Now, I'll give a graphic example. I have a friend who used to be a marijuana farmer, pretty successful marijuana farmer. He could tell you how to grow it, could tell you how to harvest it, process it. It's very educational. However, he's since changed his ways. He's married, has a successful business, and a happy family. All I'm saying is what are we talking about in terms of educational? Cultural and social. And if I may have a little bit of leeway here. Let's take the nation of Germany, who gave us our first printing presses, gave us the Reformation and Martin Luther. That was in the 1400s. The 1930s and 1940s gave us Adolf Hitler. So what part of culture are we talking about? In my opinion, culture is best represented by folk dancing, cultural costumes, native costumes, that kind of culture. I believe Oceana wants to emphasize positive aspects to cultures, folk heroes, those that have made the difference in their culture and their society. We can look to examples of people in many different cultures that stood up and made a difference. Those are the kind of things that I think we need to attach the words cultural, educational, social. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Any other comment from the public? Alita? Let me recognize Alita first.
Alita Wheeler, Oceano. I, too, want very much for the Oceano Community Center to be up and running as soon as possible. I feel that what the attorney had said about the what's recreation, educational, etc., adequately outlines, gives enough examples that people can tell what is the intent. I think that the Oceano Community Center will have a board that is intelligent enough to interpret the guidelines, to assess what the program being offered is, and as far as leases, you know, to be able to modify full-time lease language into appropriate for part-time. I just think the board will be able to handle what's going on in the context of what was read tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Clegg.
If I just want to, after listening to this fellow over here talk and the way big business works nowadays, I think you're really smart for the board to check it over and check it over twice. And I applaud you for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comment from the public? Antonia?
Antonia Maldonado, Oceano. The language of the ongoing basics means a lot. Okay, it could be a long lease for years, and it won't be recreation for our shoulders that we first started. It will be recreation for people. It's not a center for the youth center. What is it going to be for? Everybody's going to be there and party, recreation, dancing, and whatever, instead of getting
OCSD, basically, and that the building and improvements belong to the Community Center Corporation.
Okay. Now, if we lease it for, let's say, a year or so to some organization or whatever, you know, for their activities or this, okay, it's going to be theirs because it's leased to them, okay? And our children won't have no recreation whatsoever. We're on the same boat. Our children will not have anything to recreate on or to, for us to educate them, okay? This was with the idea for our community children, so that we can start picking up Oceano, not for us to have dances or drinking or whatever is going to go on for recreation. Anything can be like it's a sex or whatever. It's a recreation. Okay, and our children are still going to be looking out the window and still doing whatever or maybe getting worse because of what's going on. It's bad enough, you know, right now without them having no place. We have waited years and years for this. How many more years are we going to wait? I suggest that we really do investigate this really deep, what it's going to. I went in there the other day. It looks more like a business place than a recreation center. It has a big hall, yes, but it has about 3 or 4 rooms, like office room. At first I thought it was going to be a medical center. Another thing, not a recreation for children. There's no swimming pool. There's no place for them to play. There's no basketball, nothing. What is it really, was it built for? Recreation for old people, recreation for grown-ups, or for their children? Thank you. Please think about it and think if we continue with this in long-term lease, we may have trouble getting these people out later.
Thank you, Antonia. Any other comment from the public? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
Well, I think that the district legal counsel did exactly what we asked him to do at the last meeting. I'm satisfied. If he's satisfied that this is going to cover our intent of the lease, that we go ahead and sign the lease.
I'll second that. It's fine. I mean, there's a change at the bottom, but Alex has mentioned that, you know, that's just typographical and it'll be taken care of.
So just to clarify, I think there was a motion and a second, and that was to approve it with the modification, the correction.
Yes.
For my part, I'm still not happy with this. I would, first of all, I'll stipulate the dramatic need in the community for a recreational outlet. As Antonia mentioned, there's a dramatic need for kids to have a place to go for recreation, also for adults. I don't see that this lease and the changes to the lease in the effort to get a loan are in the best interest of the community. I would rather see a cooperative effort with the school district or something else I just don't like this, and I won't be able to support it. Any other comment from the board?
Well, when I'm looking at recreation and I look down and I see athletics, so I'm going to say, okay, that's sports for kids. I'm going to take that to be part of that. We've got to get this built. We've got to get it done. I don't see the school district coming forward to say, I'm going to help. I don't see us getting any more money from the county or anything else to get this built. So we have to help these people. But I'm sure that the community is going to be watching to see how your programs are run. You know, you've been told that they're very concerned, so I'm going to support this.
Any other comment from the board? In that case, may I have a roll call, Gina?
Director Angela?
Yes.
Director Buchwald?
Yes.
Vice President Nance?
Yes.
President Hill?
No. The motion passes. Item 11C, calendar for November 23rd, 2005. At our last meeting, we agreed to not hold a meeting at the very end of December due to conflict with the holiday season, so we'll have the meeting on the second Wednesday of December will be the last meeting for the year. Tonight we want to consider if there's enough business to warrant an additional meeting on November 23rd, which would be our normally scheduled meeting date, but that's the day before the Thanksgiving holiday. So do we have a sense, I understand from staff, that there's not any pressing business or really any items that would warrant necessarily having a meeting? Is that correct?
It would be a very short meeting.
Okay, so with that, is there any?
Whatever you want to do, I don't really control.
Well, if we don't have a very, very large calendar, we might as well save the money.
I strongly agree with that position. Bill?
We don't need to be here if there's hardly anything on the meeting, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Is there any comment from the public on this item? Okay. I believe then we will, if I correctly interpret the sense of the board, that we'd like to cancel the meeting for November 23rd. So there'll be no meeting here 2 weeks from now, but we will meet on the first Wednesday of December.
That's going to put our next...
I'm sorry, the second Wednesday of December, which would be the 14th by the calendar.
And at that time we'll decide... For the 28th of December?
No, we already agreed that that would
not, to.
Not be held.
Yeah.
Okay, item 11D, again an announcement. January 1st, 2006 will mark the 25th anniversary of the district. And I understand staff is going to have some celebrations lined up.
We're working on it. We're trying to put together a funding source which would not include public funds.
Appreciated. Any comment from the board on that?
Is there anything else that you're needing from the board or desire to?
No, we just want to, you know, we haven't solidified anything. What we're going to do is we're going to write a letter to various organizations in the community, like the Kiwanis and the OIA, the Elks, the Eagles, and all that, and ask if they would underwrite the celebration. So it's, you know, it's not conducted with public funds. We have broached the people across the street at the depot, and they're more than willing to let us use their facility for the function. It'll be probably sometime in February or March. I mean, January 1st, we wouldn't have a big turnout probably, unless, of course, it was a pretty good party at night. But
And also people are probably pretty, you know, we don't know this. I mean, you know, we don't know how people's calendar goes, but people are probably pretty partied out after the whole holiday. So I'd like to move it a little bit away from the Christmas, New Year's period, and like in February or March have our 25th celebration. But if there's any objection to that or any other thoughts, you know, that's fine. I mean, we can make it any day. You know, I mean, that's nothing is concrete or nothing is solidified at this point.
Well, I hope we would consider also including our partners, the state of California and the Sheriff's Department and any others that would like to join us. Okay, any comment from the public on this item? None. Brings us to item 12, reports of district representatives. Yesterday, I attended the Board of Supervisors meeting at the end. It was a very long agenda. By the time the board got to Zone 11A, it was probably about 5 o'clock. So it was the Zone 11A Advisory Committee made a brief presentation to the supervisors about the status of the project that they're engaged in with taking over maintenance of the Arroyo Grande Creek, and just updated the supervisors as they committed to do quarterly. So the next, the supervisors received the report from the Zone 11A committee, and there was no action taken. The next scheduled advice to the Board of Supervisors then would be in March. Vice President Mann?
I attended the sanitation district meeting, and again, we continue to deal with Arroyo Grande Creek. We are in Zone 1. And
there has been quite an increase in the amount of groundwater infiltrating into the system, increasing the amount of water that's having to be processed at the sanitation plant. Have anything going on with that?
They're working on upgrading all the things, and it seems like when they start digging to fix something, suddenly they find some pipes there that they didn't know were there, or just little odd things. Mm-hmm. If they're coming across something that's wrong, even though it wasn't originally budgeted, fix or going ahead and fixing it now rather than once it's cemented over, blacktopped over, to have to go back in another year to fix that, they're going ahead and taking care of it now because that will save money in the long run.
Great.
Okay, thank you. Director Angelo.
Okay, we had a fire committee meeting, and we're up to 607 calls. It looks like we're going to go over 700 calls this year. We talked quite a bit about the turnouts, which we've already talked about. And we also have a potential leasee, or somebody's inquired about leasing the old fire station. Their preliminary indication was they would do all the improvements in there and then and lease it from us. We kind of directed staff to see what they were going to, you know, see what they come up with so we could bring it to the full board. But I did go on record that unless there was parking included, I wouldn't support it. But Mitch said he had already told him that, and Bill come up with a kind of a good idea or a unique idea. I don't know how cost effective it is, though, is to put the drainage underground so we could get rid of that drainage basin down there and create more room for more parking. But we'll see what they come back with, and we'll bring it back to the board. And I think that's about it.
Okay. I have nothing more to comment on that, but I would like to give a compliment to our fire department. This morning when it was raining, I was driving around Oceano looking at where the flooding was taking place. And Highway 1, the south end, as you go around the corner towards Chacho's, was flooded across Highway 1. I came back a little bit later in the fire department. Our firefighters were there unclogging the drain, and that water just left Highway 1 immediately. So I want to thank them and appreciate seeing them out there.
Very good. Yes, thank you very much for that effort. That's a continuing problem here, and what we can do to alleviate that kind of problem for the community is in everyone's best interest. So that's much appreciated.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Is there any comment or questions from the public on the director's reports?
There was one more thing on the fire committee. That might...
Please do, Mike.
We also brought up to the fire committee members the date for the City Gate conference. It's next Wednesday at 7 p.m. I think there's a sheeting of packets.
Thank you. That was November 16th at 7 p.m. And is that at the regional center?
At the regional center.
Public's invited.
And the public is invited to that. Thank you, Chief.
You know, one other thing that we did discuss, and I'll ask Mike for the dates, but they're going to hold their annual barbecue for holidays. And the dates that they were working on was... 11th and 12th.
10th, 11th, or 17th. So we're still waiting
for. So if anybody has any preference on a day, they'd like to hear from us.
Okay, I think.
President
Hill, any of those should be fine with me. Whatever works out to the best.
I have a question for the fire.
Please, Mary.
At the last meeting, you had talked about the thermal imaging equipment and having some policies put in place. And Captain Bova had done the training and stuff, and you were going to bring some policies back to this board, some, you know, the do's and don'ts on abusing equipment, and it's just sound policies and procedures. So I was wondering if there was any work or any attention brought to that, since you did direct staff to draft some policies.
I did see them in our packet.
There was, yes, indeed. The chief and members of the fire department did put together. Mark?
President Hill, I understand the board voted a motion to... give us just one more meeting for the year. Is that correct?
That's correct. That'll be the second Wednesday of December, which is the 14th.
Okay. And with that, the possibility that our next meeting, you would be, that would be the last meeting that you could possibly be our president. And with that, I would like to say that it's been a pleasure working with you over this past several months, that you have fulfilled the promises that you had laid out when you first campaigned. That being public viewing of these meetings, that was fought hard by yourself. That was a campaign promise that you fulfilled. Saving the district and taxpayers thousands by deleting the health benefit perk. And that was an awesome thing. You have stood alone many times as a lone dissenter for what, in my opinion, and many out here, was the right thing to do. And sometimes it's lonely doing the right thing, and you've done that, and you have not only my respect but the respect of a lot of people out here. I would encourage this board to do the right thing and keep our president. Okay, I mean, Jim has done a lot and transformed this district, and I want to see him back next year as president. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. Board member items for discussion. Are there any others?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
You know, I should probably mention the 15th of this month, I think it's at 3 o'clock here at OCSD, we have airport land use for the future of Oceano, our airport, not for the future. That's a discussion about the future things happening with the airport. And are you familiar with that?
Yeah, that's just a staff meeting with the planning department. That's not a public meeting.
Okay. And
I have a question, though, on that. The Airport Land Use Committee, they're going to be doing their update. Is that correct?
Working on it.
And once that's done, then we have to revisit the specific plan again. Is that correct?
What they were trying to incorporate portions of the specific plan into the airport land use, if there is any conflict, yes, there would have to be a review of what, you know, because what you've got is you've got the specific plan and the airport land use are both administered by the same county department. So if you've got conflicts between the two documents, obviously they have to sort those out.
Well, I would think that perhaps Mr. Wampler or Olita would know, because I think one of them came to Oceana House in saying that the airport land use, since it wasn't done first and there was a problem, therefore then they were going to have to once again spend months, years on a specific plan after the airport land use committee.
My understanding is the only thing that will be addressed will be any conflicts between the two documents. If there are no conflicts, I mean, there would be no reason to revisit the specific plan, because that isn't up for review. You know, those things stay in effect for a considerable number of years.
Well, I would perhaps ask Oceana Halcyon then to check that out next time, unless you know the answer now.
The last report that we had was from Bill Robeson, that first the specific plan for the airport would be reviewed primarily, and then the Oceano specific plan would follow after, and that that we were to send a representative from our advisory group to be part of that committee. And that's the last that I've heard. That's kind of vague, but that was the last what we heard. So we'd like to be in the loop on that.
Ryan, did you have anything?
No, I don't have anything.
Just a couple of quick items. I want to compliment Phil Davis on the cleanup of the water yard. It was looking real good last time I was by there, and encourage the ongoing good maintenance there. Last meeting I asked about the potential to get the Rio Grande sewer cleaner for use on the railroad culvert again.
We did check it. We did. Phil and I talked about it. I don't know what the actual progress was, but our approach was to get a generator with a light to see how, you know, what the condition of it was.
So if we could set the meeting at the earliest convenience to do that, I'd appreciate that. Brings us to item 15, consideration of the warrants. Any comment or questions on the warrants?
I have one question. The check for V. Lopez, is that his final payment?
Yes, sir.
We don't hold back anything for...
Is that all of it?
No.
Oh, no?
No.
I lied to you.
Not.
Misunderstood. I'm sorry. The $324,000, you know, I thought that was it.
No, and I think it's even
spelled
out that.
There's retention held there, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
You have to pay the retention eventually.
The warrant itself that's in the packet for approval tonight shows that there's $36,011 as retention.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
$36,011 is being retained.
So how long after the job's completed do we pay them the retention money?
I don't remember what, you know. It's been approved.
I know that. I was just
No, I don't mean the warrant. The county has approved the project. The project's all signed off, so I don't know what the contract says as far as the retention period goes, but all the process has been completed. All we needed now is our engineer to send us a little note.
So when the engineer says everything's fine, then that's when you paid. That's what I was trying to get at. You know, did you wait for the third rain or something before you paid it?
Fourth rain.
Fourth rain, okay. you know, so once the engineer signs off, then they get their retention.
Right.
Thank you.
Just out of curiosity, there was a bill for $60 in round numbers for a special pickup from South County Sanitary. Is that
just when there are couches or mattresses around town?
Was this the 22nd Street bridge?
No.
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 Okay. That's a good thing. Any other comment or questions on the warrants? Any comment or questions from the public on the warrants?
Yes, President Hill, as you recall, some time back, a conference was held in Long Beach whereby two directors, specifically Bill Lookout and Mr. Dahl, attended, and that Mr. Dahl had canceled a very late term. There was approximately $1,700 in expenditures, if I'm not mistaken. Have any of those costs been refunded back to the district? Has there been any proof of that? Because those were monies that were spent that were essentially lost to the district. So do you have any findings on that?
Perhaps the general manager could comment on that. I know you were told me that you were going to try to obtain refunds for some of that.
The money from the hotel has been refunded. As a matter of fact, they refunded more than we asked them for. The travel advance that check was given to us by the director himself, and the special district is preparing the paperwork for the refund on that. As you recall, this is not a fast process as far as special districts go. One of your warrants in here a while back had a notation for Bill Senna, and that was long after he had been off the board. It takes him a while to get this process through, but it is in the works as far as the money coming back from special districts.
I understand how things can take time to work out. In some cases, quite a long bit of time, so I'm not concerned about that. But I do share Mr. Wampler's concern that the district does pursue the trying to get that back. Other comment or questions? Hearing none. Item 16, any written communication?
We need a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll move to pay the bills.
Second.
That's the motion and second. Thank you very much. That's been moved and seconded to pay the warrants. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. And that brings us to item 16, written communication.
Yes. Last time I talked to you a little bit about the request for a grant that we have in with the county through the Community Block Grant Development, specifically for infrastructure repairs due to natural disasters. We asked for over $1 million. We're also trying to cover ourselves with a potential grant where we could repair the entirety of these lines rather than just portions of them.
I also like to commend the effort to partner with the county to where when we've made repairs to the water and sewer lines in a street that rather than just make a patch of the ditch that was created in that immediate repair, that we've combined with the county to get an entire repave on some of the streets, which has been a benefit to the community and our residents. So that's a good thing, and I'd like to commend our staff and the county for participating in that.
Just as an update, we were supposed to start on October 31st for Juanita and McCarthy. The new date is November 18th. I don't know why they picked a Friday, but the utility operations supervisor informed me that the latest word is November 18th is the start date. We were assuming they were going to be down there Monday, but we didn't see hide or hair of them, so we checked it out and tried to find out where they were, and the 18th is a new day.
Okay. Any other correspondence? That's it. Okay. In that case, we're adjourned.
Might be new committees after the first of the year. Don't you want to wait for that?